And I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the I Want to Know More podcast this week, we're going once again to Psalm number 18. Psalm number 18. All right, let's go ahead and get into the scripture today. We're going to talk a little bit about it, give you a little bit of a recap first. We've been in this Psalm 18 for a little while. We started out contrasting Psalm 18 and 2 Samuel 22. Our study of the life of David brought us to 2 Samuel 22. The Lord impressed upon my heart to study the contrast between it and Psalm 18 first, and then study what does it mean? What is the main theme? What are we getting out of this scripture? And so we studied the contrast between the two, and then we picked Psalm 18. Now, 2 Samuel 22 was David singing this song after he had rest from all his enemies. And Psalm 18 is the congregation's singing the song that David first sang when God gave him rest from his enemies. And that explains the differences between the two, the Psalm 18 and 2 Samuel 22. Now, as I've studied this and studied the contrasts and studied about each verse of this psalm, and we're down at verse number 20, it's where we're going to start today. But we're going verse by verse, and as I've studied this, I've been impressed upon by the Lord to see that the main theme of this psalm is the phrase, "He'll do it again." Well, actually, that's a full sentence. He'll do it again. He did it before, he'll do it again. You know, that's why I love testimony services. Testimony services, and I've not been in one in a while, and I'm looking forward to the next one I'm in. But testimony services are services where people tell you what God's done for them. And by hearing what God has done for someone else, it'll encourage your heart that he'll do it again. He's capable. Nothing can stop him. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. It's all wonderful. Yeah, he is so capable. He's so capable of taking care of your problems. Now, the way he takes care of your problems may or may not be the way you think that the problem should be taken care of, but he'll do it in a way that it will bring maximum glory to his cause and to his name. And when you look back upon it, you'll see how the Lord worked everything out and how all things really did work to the good for them who love God and are the called according to his purpose. And one of the times we need to remember these things is right after he's given us rest from our enemies. That's when we ought to be on the best, most guard for new enemies. And David recognizes this, and he's talked about it at length already in this psalm. But we're down at verse number 20, verse number 20 of Psalm 18. And I started with this last week, but I didn't get finished. And so, verse number 20, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me." Let's talk about the cleanness of his hands. Let's talk about that first. In the tabernacle worship, there was a pretty set order of how things were to be done. Here were the priests, and the priests had to go between the inside of the tabernacle and the brazen altar rather frequently. And so they'd be at the brazen altar, which was a messy place. It's a messy place. A place of sacrifice, blood and ashes, and it was on dirt. The floor of the tabernacle was dirt. And so there was dust being kicked up. And by the time they got done at the brazen altar, their hands were dirty, their feet were dirty. And they were not allowed to go in to the house of the tabernacle, the place of fellowship. They were not allowed to go to the place of fellowship with unwashed hands and feet. And so God made provision. God made provision in the tabernacle worship for washing. and there was a brazen laver. And that brazen laver, we get the word lavatory from this. It's a basin for washing. That's what it's for. And so the lavatory, the brazen laver, was made from the looking glasses of the women who gathered at the tabernacle door. And those were of the finest brass, almost silver colored, capable of holding a tremendous polish. And so they made this brazen laver, and it was the most beautiful thing that was visible outside in the courtyard of the tabernacle. When you went in, the first thing you saw was the brazen altar and its ugliness, and the gold and the brazen censers that made a shield around that altar that reminded Israel that you don't bring strange fire and you don't buck the man of God. Go back to Numbers, I believe, 17, and you'll see that. Or is it 16? One of the two, 16, 17. You can read the story of Dathan and Abiram and Korah and the events that befell them there. And then the brazen censers. Brother Rudy Smith, years ago, preached on that. The brazen censers, taken from the burning, was the name of the message. And I've got a copy of that, and that I've listened to it a few times since then. That was way back in like 2002, 2003, so 23 years ago, 24 years ago when that was preached. But that message struck me like very few have. That message struck me, and every time I listen to it, I get something new out of it. It's just one of those things that you look and you see what was going on and how that all worked. It's worthwhile to study that. But as you looked at the brazen altar, you saw all this, and it was all about sin. The brazen altar was about paying for sin, and the sin debt requires death. And the brazen altar symbolizes that death. But then you have the most beautiful object you've ever seen, and it's this running water brass lavatory. Now, it's bronze. They didn't have brass that we like we have. They called it brass. We call it bronze today. Because we have to remember, our King James Bible is not written in American English. There was no such thing as American English when 1611 was published in 1611. Mm-hmm. The Pilgrims hadn't even landed yet in Plymouth at 1620. And Jamestown in 1604 was just barely making it by 1611. And so there was no such thing as American English at the time. And so they didn't have some of the wording that we had. Brass was unknown at the time of the tabernacle. Brass being an alloy of copper and zinc. What they did have was an alloy of copper and tin. We call that bronze. And that was in the Bronze Age. The Iron Age was ushered in. The Philistines were one of the peoples that ushered in the Age of Iron. And iron smithing, blacksmithing, was and iron smelting was a closely guarded secret in that day. It was top secret information, national security. Almost like the security behind nuclear material would be today. Because iron was revolutionary in war. It was way better than bronze. And iron could defeat bronze weapons pretty easily. And so they had bronze, copper and tin alloy. And that's very common. This would have been had a very high tin concentration to be so shiny. Tin can be made very, very shiny. But add that copper and it makes it much tougher. And so a high tin content, bronze alloy, almost silver in color, would have been this brazen laver. It almost looked like silver, but it wasn't. Now, silver is a type of the blood, a type of redemption. The foundation of the tabernacle were sockets of silver. But to get to the tabernacle itself, the place of fellowship, you had to go by the brazen laver and you were to wash. You washed a coming and a going. When you went in, you washed. When you came out, you washed. and you washed continually because you continually kept getting dirty. Either the act of taking care of your sins at the brazen altar, or what you were doing inside the tabernacle, dressing the table of shewbread and burning incense and doing the different things that were required, trimming the lamps, dealing with the oil that was in the lampstick, the lampstand, the golden candlestick there. And it was lamps. It was oil lamps using a wick inserted into olive oil, and it was a special oil that was used. It was very special all the way around. But all of those tasks produced dirt on the hands, and walking on the ground produced dirt on the feet. And there was nothing you could do about it. They could not wear shoes. They were barefooted, and they got dirty. And every time they passed the brazen laver, they washed. They washed. Now, back to what David said here. Cleanness of my hands. Cleanness of my hands. Your hands do not stay clean. If you don't do anything, even if you don't do anything at all, if you just sit and wait, your hands will get dirty from the dead skin the hands are producing all the time. If you work, your hands are going to get dirty. If no matter what you do. And the dirt on your hands is a type of the filth of the flesh, the sin that doth so easily beset us. That's a type of that. And so continual washing, the only way you stay clean is to continually wash. Because there's no way of staying clean. There's no way of staying out of the way of sin. And David used this very specific metaphor. Cleanness of my hands. He uses a very specific phrasing here to recognize that he has to wash continually. And the Lord is going to grade him not on how dirty his hands got, but how clean he was able to get them by washing. And again, the brazen laver was made from the looking glasses. That's a mirror. That's what you use to look at yourself. How do you wash spiritually? You wash through soap and water. And soap is derived from fat and caustic lye. The saponification process that a caustic solution, a very alkaline solution, will do to fats when it's heated. It produces soap, which produces cleanliness from fat and alkali. I remember my mama talking about making soap, red devil lye and lard, and making lard soap. And that soap would be used. Now, that process is a very dangerous one. It's very dangerous. Boiling lye is a dangerous thing to work with. It is a really, really dangerous thing to work with. But people have been doing it for years. And that soap, the fat plus the alkali, is a representative of the Word of God. The water is representative of the Holy Ghost. And you take both together with mechanical action. You need a little elbow grease going into it. Sometimes the soap will take it off by itself. Sometimes you got to do some scrubbing. It just depends on how dirty you got. You know, I've done some work on my car this past week. And if you've ever worked on a car and dealt with that grime and crud that's on the bottom of a vehicle, you know very few things will get you dirty quicker than working on a car. And these people who have meticulous and spotless automotive shops, I say, wow, I can't do that. Mine don't look like that. It's hard to keep mine clean. And I don't have much of a shop, but still, these folks that can keep a spotless shop, my hat's off to you. My hat's off to you. But And you say, well, you just wear gloves and whatnot. Sometimes that works, sometimes it don't. I wear gloves when I can. There's times that you need direct contact, like starting a little screw or something, whatever it might be. There's a few times. But in any case, if you do any auto mechanicking, you'll understand what dirt really is. There's some other materials. If you certain lubricants, a molybdenum grease, a moly grease, a moly lube, that stuff just about has to wear off. It's hard to get off. If you get on your clothes, they're ruined. I mean, they're just ruined. It doesn't come out. And, you know, some sins like that too. Some sins leave a stain that cannot be washed off easily. Now, everything is taken away by the blood. Don't take me wrong here. I'm not saying that you'll get dirty and you have to wash in blood again. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying to maintain fellowship. Your salvation is secure. But to maintain fellowship, you got to wash your hands. And David here is saying he's been rewarded according to the cleanness of his hands. And he would have continually washed. And he's saying the Lord rewarded me, not gave me inheritance, not delivered me according to my righteousness. He rewarded me according to my righteousness. And that would be good and bad, by the way. Verse number 21, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Now, some people might say, well, look what he did. Okay, even during that, when Nathan the prophet came and told him what he had done, David immediately repented. He immediately begged forgiveness. It slipped up on him. And then once he found out that it was a sin, once he found out from the man of God that it was sin, then he got it right. Of course, he had to pay consequences. He did, and he knows this. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. Now, judgments and statutes here is referring to the Word. It's referring to the written Word of God, just like God had commanded them through Moses, saying, when you do get a king, he needs to make him a copy of the words of this book, that he may study it. And you'll find that in the book of Deuteronomy. I want to say 17 or 18. It's in that range. I'd have to go look and make sure of the location of it. But it's in that general area, and you'll see it. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Okay, first off, he's not saying he doesn't have iniquity, because he recognizes mine iniquity. He says, I kept myself from mine iniquity. He's talking about washing. He's talking about getting it right with God. He's talking about confessing. He's talking about praying before God and recognizing before God that he is a sinner and that he has iniquity. Verse 24, therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. Oh, wow. That's the second time he's used that same metaphor. It's almost like it's important. Now, these bookend this section about keeping yourself right with God. Understanding your iniquities are there, but you have to keep yourself from them. You have iniquities, you do commit sin, and you get it right as quickly as you can. You wash it as quickly as you can. And the same thing's true if you get really dirty doing mechanic work or whatever work you might do. The quicker you wash it off, the easier it is to wash off. If you let it soak in, it'll stain. Some things you need to wash off immediately, because they will damage you. They will hurt. They will create problems for you. Certain materials. Motor oil is one of them. Motor oil can really cause you problems. Certain other solvents that are used. Brake fluid. Brake cleaner especially. Gasoline. Some of the other solvents that are used in engine cleaning. Carburetor cleaner. A carburetor cleaner will mess you up if you ain't real careful. I've done a couple of carburetor rebuilds in my day, and it's amazing what carburetor cleaner will do. And it will eat organic material and make a mess of it. And if you get too much of it on you and you leave it on you long enough, it'll create a problem. And, you know, some of these materials have been shown to cause cancer if you're exposed to them too much. That's why most mechanics wear gloves. I do wear gloves. I don't wear vinyl or latex or nitrile gloves. I typically wear, I've got a pair of mechanicking gloves that are leather. They don't keep solvents from soaking in, but they do protect your hands from abrasions and cuts and that sort of thing. Wearing latex or nitrile or vinyl is very difficult for me. I have a really hard time doing that. I wouldn't make it in medicine, I'm sure, because you've got to do that constantly in medicine. But if you're used to doing that, you know how wonderful that it is to protect your skin. But there are solvents that will soak through latex. There are toxins that will go through latex, nitrile, and vinyl, all, especially mercury compounds. Just wearing gloves is not sufficient protection against some of these materials. Some materials you have to wear multiple layers of personal protection to be able to handle certain materials. Certain materials require extreme care. Sulfuric acid, like used in car batteries, is one of those. Sulfuric acid will damage you. Now, if you wash it off quickly enough, then it'll just be superficial. But if you let it soak in, it can create problems. It can cause you some problems. You have to be real careful with the chemicals used in a typical automobile. The quicker you wash it off, the quicker you handle your sin, the easier it is to wash off, the easier it is to handle. It's when you let it sit. It's when you don't keep yourself from your iniquity. It's when you don't wash your hands and keep your hands clean, spiritually speaking, that the stains build up. And some stains become permanent. They're almost like tattoos. That's the problem with tattoos. They're permanent. You're stained for life by that ink. And, you know, getting tattooed by something sharp and some automotive grease, you know, that's not a pleasant thing. And it will do it. It will definitely do that. Again, wash it off quick. With sin, deal with it now. You're not going to stay sinless. You're not going to stay spotless. But you can and should wash frequently. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please email broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, that's broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next time for I Want to Know More.